The Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Lamed Zayin tells us about two or perhaps three shitos in Tanoim about the status of circumstantial evidence. The shita of the Chachamim appears to be that across the board circumstantial evidence is inadmissible, both by dini mamonis, by monetary cases, and dini nefashos, capital cases. In contrast, the shita of Rav Acha seems to be that circumstantial evidence is admissible in both cases, both by dini mamonis and by dini nefashos. And the word which the Gemara uses to describe circumstantial evidence is the word omed, evaluation. Essentially, it's something which we're assuming what happened, not based on actual concrete facts or the testimony about facts, but rather based on putting things together from what the testimony tells us. And I want to discuss a number after the seemingly unified position of the Chachamim, who say that we never accepted, and the seemingly unified position of Rav Acha that we always accepted. I want to discuss in both shitos possible distinctions between dine nefashos and dine mamonis. And I also want to discuss, in terms of the definition of omed, or of circumstantial evidence, I believe that there is good grounds to assume that there are more than one category of circumstantial evidence, and that perhaps some categories are easier to accept in court than others. So to begin with, let's turn to the Shita of the Chachamim. The Tosfos and the Yad Ramah both ask a question from the Gemara in Shavuos. In our Gemara, and the Gemara seems to say for the Shita of the Chachamim, that circumstantial evidence is inadmissible across the board. What are the examples of circumstantial evidence? If a witness testifies, or two witnesses come in and testify, that they saw a person run after another person into an alleyway, and then when they came into the alleyway, the former, the chaser, the rodef, was standing over the other guy, and the other guy was bleeding, and this guy was holding a knife and covered in blood, that's still circumstantial evidence because the witnesses did not actually see an act of murder. Similarly, the Gemara gives us an example of a camel that's, you know, doing something, getting all excited amongst a lot of other camels. And when you arrive on the scene, you know, of seeing this excited camel, you discover there's one camel that now has a big wound in its side and it's fallen down and it dies. So you don't really know whether the camel that was being all excited actually hurt this camel that's now, you know, hurt or dead, or whether it didn't hurt, but there's a reasonable chance that the camel which was excited is actually responsible. And in both of these cases, the Chachamim say that we do not accept the circumstantial evidence. We cannot convict the person who was all bloody and holding the knife, who chased the other guy into the alleyway. We still can't convict him because we have no evidence. Nobody saw him actually stick the knife into the person who was killed. And in the case of the camel also, because nobody actually saw the camel which was all excited actually damaging the camel which subsequently became damaged or died, therefore we cannot be mechayev, the owner of the excited camel, to pay for the damages to the hurt camel. However, the Gemara in Shavuos seems to present us a very different picture. The Gemara tells us the following story on Shavuos Daf Mem Vav. It says, what happens if a person went into a room with another person and he emerged with a wound on his back, a place where it's impossible for a person to inflict a wound on themselves in that place? Only if somebody else wounded them can they be wounded. And there's nobody else in the room except for this one other person. So then the Gemara says that we automatically assume that the other guy in the room caused this wound and we obligate him to pay. And this is talking about monetary cases. It's talking about tashlumei nezek. However, and the Ramah says it should remain restricted to monetary cases. In capital cases, such evidence, even if it was impossible for the person to have inflicted the death wound on himself, and there was no other person in the room to inflict the death wound, even so, says the Ramah, without the aid in testifying that they actually saw one person stick the knife into the other, we cannot convict him. However, Tosfos argues that no, that just as by monetary cases, this higher level of certainty is sufficient for conviction, even though it's circumstantial, even though there is no re'iyah of the Edom. The Edom never saw the Ma'isa, but since it's impossible based on what they saw for any other chain of events to have happened, therefore, says Tosfos, even by capital cases, we can convict a murderer based on this type of circumstantial evidence. But the Ramah says that no, we cannot convict them, the murderer, based on such circumstantial evidence. So essentially now, this establishes three categories. The first category is a category where not only are we positive about what happened, but we have witnesses who observed what happened and who testify about what happened. The second category is when we are positive, there's no other sequence of events that can have taken place. However, we don't have the Re'iyas HaEdim. The Edim are not testifying, or they did not actually observe the act that take place, but we know for sure that it took place. And then there's a third type of circumstantial evidence, which is when it's not even certain that the act took place, it's merely probable based on different types of probability. And again, what everyone agrees, if there's a Re'iyas HaEdim, it's certainly sufficient. If there is no Re'iyas HaEdim, but we can certainly reconstruct the case within Shitas HaChachamim, that's a machlokas between Tosfos and the Ramah. And in a case where it's not even certain what the sequence of events are, it's only probable, there everyone agrees for the Chachamim that circumstantial evidence is inadmissible. There's another interesting machlokas within the Shitas HaChachamim, and that's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam writes in Sefer HaMitzvos, Lo Sasei Reish Tzadi, that there's a special mitzvah from the Pasuk, V'naki V'tzadik Al Taharog, you shouldn't kill a person who's free and who's righteous. V'naki V'tzadik Al Taharog, says the Rambam, from here we learn out that we cannot convict a person, we cannot execute a person based on circumstantial evidence. And this is, the Rambam says, is a special din by capital cases. We cannot execute a person, we can't give the death penalty based on circumstantial evidence. And the Ramban asks, he says, Rambam, don't we paskin, like the Chachamim, that even by Dini Mominis, we can't convict a person based on circumstantial evidence. So how are you making up a special mitzvah that applies seemingly only to Dini Nefashos, and not to Dini Mominis, that it is a pasuk v'naki v'tzadik al taharog? How can you make up such a mitzvah? This is the svara that applies both to Dini Mominis and to Dini Nefashos, and it's not a special mitzvah by capital cases. Now, one of the Mefarshim on the Rambam answers, and he gives a very clever answer, but I'm not sure it's correct. He answers and says, it's a kal v'chomer. If circumstantial evidence is inadmissible by monetary cases, kol shekein, it's inadmissible by capital cases. And we know there's a rule in all of Shas that milsa da'asya b'kal v'chomer, something which can be derived via a kal v'chomer, tarach v'kasev l'kra, the pasuk will nevertheless go to pains to write it. So the fact that it's in a pasuk doesn't mean that it doesn't exist elsewhere, that you can't derive it from a kal v'chomer, because the pasuk will sometimes write down things that could otherwise be derived from a kal v'chomer. So that's his answer. He says, how can the Ramban is saying, we find it also by Dini Mamas. In Achinami, the Rambam agrees to that, but he felt that even so, it deserved a special mention by Dini Nefashos. So I'm not sure that I'm so happy with that answer, because it's not just a kal v'chomer. However we know it by Dini Mamas, so It's a svara that unless we know something with a certain degree of certainty, we can't convict a person to pay money. So it's not just a kal v'chomer that we learn out from there, from Dini Mamonis to Dini Nefashos. It's a svara that we can't convict a person without 100% certainty by Dini Mamonis, and that svara alone should be sufficient to tell us the din by Dini Mamonis. So even if we have a rule, milsa da'asya b'kal v'chomer, tarach v'kasav l'akra, but milsa da'asya b'svara, tarach v'kasav l'akra, it's a bit less certain that that's the case. There are many things that we learn out from Svar that the Pasuk does not write. So this is perhaps my kasha. I think it's the Leiv Sameach's commentary on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. So anyhow, what's pshat in this Shitas HaRambam? What's going on over here? So perhaps you can explain the Shitas HaRambam based on this machlokas between Tosvos and the Ramah. Maybe what's going on here is that there's really three different levels of circumstantial evidence. There's circumstantial evidence where it's probable but not certain. There's circumstantial evidence where it's certain but where there's no Re'iyas Edim. And then there's genuine evidence, which is where there's certainty and there's also Re'iyas Edim. So maybe what the Rambam means to say is as follows, that by monetary cases, we pass in like the Chachamim in cases where it's probable but not certain. And there, for even by monetary cases, misvara, we know that we can't accept circumstantial evidence. However, what about cases where there's certainty but no Re'iyas Edim? So over there, maybe, it's not going to work out so nicely with the rationale that the Rambam gives for this mitzvah in Sefer HaMitzvos. But one might say that in cases where there's certainty but there's no Re'iyas Edim, or at least there's that level of certainty that's necessary, perhaps the Rambam would say that by dinei mamonis, circumstantial evidence where it's certain and only lacks re'iyah is sufficient, and only by dinei nefashos, where there's a special mitzvah of naki v'tzadik al tarug, that we need not only absolute certainty, we also need re'iyas ha'edim. And that's what the pasuk is coming to tell us, and there's absolutely no redundancy with dinei mamonis. I just want to say a little bit in terms of the svara about what the nature of eidos is, which may relate to this question, this machlokas between Tosfos and the Ramban, maybe between the Rambam and the Ramban, about the level of circumstantial evidence that's acceptable by dinei mamonis or that's not acceptable by dinei nefashos. One could understand that the purpose of eidim and the purpose of eidos is simply to establish the facts in front of Beis Din. One could also argue that the purpose of eidim and the purpose of eidos is for the eidim to take responsibility for the consequences of their testimony, for the consequences of what they're saying. Without the eidim taking responsibility, so Beis Din is powerless to punish, Beis Din is powerless to issue fines, Beis Din is powerless to execute. So one might make the following argument. Re'iyas eidim, in a case when we have absolute certainty, doesn't impact at all in terms of our knowledge of what happened. However, what Re'iyas Eidim does impact on is the degree of responsibility that the Eidim feel for their testimony. Again, this one might psychologically dispute this, but one certainly could argue that when Eidim are testifying, Reuven stuck a knife into Shimon, that's a very, very gory and blunt testimony, and if Eidim are willing to make such a direct statement, that indicates that they're accepting and that they feel full responsibility for their actions. It's a very jarring experience. But if they simply say, well, we saw him run after him into an alley, and it's impossible that anybody else killed him, and it's impossible that he killed himself, so that already is a statement which takes the edge, right, off of what the Eidim are doing. It's sort of, it doesn't make a person feel as responsible for the consequences, because one could rationalize that it's really based in putting everything together. We're not the ones who are doing it. We're not the ones who are responsible. Possibly, this may have something to do with why you need re'iyah by dinei nefashos, because the eidim need to accept a higher level of responsibility, which is absent even when they say something that creates a certainty in our mind about the sequence of events, but they're not actually doing it in a way which takes full responsibility. There's alternate pshatim also, but I think we'll just basically stop with this. And also just to mention that within the shita of Rav Acha, there are also distinctions that are drawn by some Rishonim and not by others between dinei mamonis and dinei nefashos, and I think that they can basically be explained along the same lines. There are other explanations also that work both for the Chachamim and for Rav Acha.